If you have your Bibles today, if you would turn to Romans chapter 15, we're going to be continuing through our series called Pray, and I hope that we have been adding some things to our prayer list in this new year. We've looked at individual prayers of Paul and saw the unique way that he prays, and we're going to be continuing to look at another one of Paul's prayers today, a prayer in Romans chapter 15. And this is where Paul prays around the idea of unity. Unity in the family of God. Unity in the body of Christ. Because let's be honest today. Unfortunately, Christians are not always the most unified people around the world. Many times the church is known for strife and anger that exist within the church. Maybe you've experienced it before. I know I've personally experienced this so many times, where the church becomes a place of arguing and fighting, and churches people leave, and churches split over some of the smallest issues that really don't matter at all. And it's sad that so many churches in the world today are full of strife and anger, and that people just can't get along. And I would argue that one of the devil's greatest weapons is to divide the body of Christ. Why? Because if we are united, then we are unstoppable. And what we can do for the glory of God on earth is taking a negative story and finding a positive principle in it. You go back to the Tower of Babel. And what does God say there? Because they have one language, there is nothing that would be impossible for them to do. What's he saying there? If they are united, there is nothing that they will not be able to do. And the same is true for us as a church. If we are united, there is nothing that we would not be able to do for the glory of God. But when we become divided, when we have disunity that exists in us, then we are deluded and we are weak. And we become ineffective in the way that God would want to use us. And so today, I want to look at another prayer of the Apostle Paul that in which he addresses the theme of the family of God being unified. And I would stand here today and say that I believe that this should be the prayer of every single church, that we would be unified. I believe that this should be our prayer here at Big Spring Baptist Church. And so let us begin looking here in Romans chapter 15, beginning there in verse 5, where Paul says, "May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another in accord with Christ Jesus, that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God." Notice that Paul prays that God would help them to live in harmony together, and he defines what this harmony looks like. He says this harmony is evidenced by the fact that you will have one voice and one mind. And then in verse 7 he says, "And you will show this and you will do this by accepting others just like Jesus has accepted you." And when you do this, notice what happens. When you live in harmony, when you have one mind and one voice, when you're accepting of each other, he says, then you will glorify God. It is then that you will begin to praise God. And so if we here this morning want to glorify God in all that we are doing, if we want to bring praise and honor to God here this morning, what we need to do is treat others as Jesus has treated us, as Jesus has loved us. And that is the prayer of Paul. And as I said earlier, or I haven't said earlier, but this is a very interesting prayer because it is very similar to the prayer that we find Jesus prays in John 17. Beginning there in verse 20, Jesus prays, "I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may be all be one, just as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them and you in me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you sent me and love them even as you love me. So Paul prays for unity. Jesus prays for unity. Why? So that God would be glorified and so that the world would know that God sent Jesus to reach a lost and broken world. So let us be unified then. Let us be unified so that God can be glorified. Let us be unified so that God, so that the world will know that God sent his Son so that they might be saved. Let us not be unified so that we could feel good about ourselves and say there's no strife that exists between these walls. Let us be unified so that God will be glorified in and through us, and so that when the world looks at us, they will know that God sent Jesus to rescue them, to save them, to deliver them. And so, is this something that you pray for? Have you ever prayed for the unity of our church? You know, over the last few weeks, I've been encouraging you to add a few things to your prayer list. We should be praying for the power of God. We should be praying that we would be active in sharing our faith so that we could have a better understanding of all the good things that we have in God. But also we should be praying for the unity of the body of Christ. Why? So that we would glorify God and so that the world would know that God sent Jesus. And do you realize that the unity of the body, the unity of the church is important to God? If you read throughout Scripture, you will find that this is a common theme that runs throughout the Bible. 1 Peter 3:8 says, "Finally, all of you have unity of mind, sympathy, brotherly love, a tender heart, a humble mind." Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 7, "I, therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift." Paul is there saying that part of walking in such a way that is worthy of our calling, in other words, part of living a life that is a Christian life, means that we walk together unified with our brothers and sisters in Christ. And the reason we can be unified is because we worship the same God, we have the same Spirit living within us, and we have the most important thing in common. We were each given God's grace. And one of my favorite verses on unity is Psalm 133:1. "Behold, how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell in unity." Isn't that an amazing thing? How great and wonderful it is when brothers dwell together in unity. And I would say that as a father, I think I understand this passage a little bit better because of my experience. Because I would say that the thing that brings me and Stephanie the greatest joy is when our kids are getting along. When they're hugging each other, when they're kissing each other, when they're playing well together, and when they're cuddling there together, you know, the thought comes across my mind. I'm sitting there with a big smile on my face and saying, isn't it wonderful when they act like they love each other? But you want to know really what's going through my head at that point? It's so quiet and peaceful. This is amazing. This is wonderful. Because I'll be honest with you, that's not the reality around my house most of the time. My girls don't get along very well together. and my house is often filled with screaming and yelling because one of them's getting on the other's nerves, or they're chasing each other through the house because one of them's stolen a toy from the other, or, you know, one of the kids will go in there while one of the kids is playing or building something out of Legos and just kick it over and laugh while the other just starts screaming. You know, that's the reality of my house. And you maybe have had that experience before, maybe where you're on that road trip and you began to turn around and you say, don't make me turn this car over, pull this car over. I'm telling you, if you don't stop right now, I am going to pull this van over and come back there. Don't tell me I'm the only one that's ever said that. You know how that is. And there's a frustration and a disappointment that comes along with that. And you sit there and you look at your kids and you're like, can't you just love each other? Your family, can't you just love each other? And I sometimes wonder if God doesn't look down upon his church and he sees all the fighting that goes on. And I wonder if he sometimes has that same disappointment that we feel as we look at our children when they're not getting along. And he's saying, can't you just love each other? Don't you realize your family? Don't you realize that you are brothers and you are sisters? Can't you just love each other and get along? Because see, when we're unified, we're not easily defeated. I mean, when we are not unified, we will easily be defeated. And so we must always remember that we face an enemy whose mission it is to steal and to kill and destroy. And he is seeking to steal the unity of the church so that their mission will be destroyed, that their reputation will be destroyed, and so that they are no longer effectively reaching out into their community and around the world, that they're no longer effectively expanding the kingdom of God. But when we are united together, then we can do infinitely more for the glory of God than we can do when we are separated. And God will be glorified, and the world will know that he sent Jesus. And so if that doesn't motivate you enough to begin praying for unity, I want to give you three different reasons why it is important for us here this morning to begin to pray for unity. And the first reason why is this: we pray for unity because we desperately need each other. I want you to realize this morning that we desperately need each other. Romans 12:5, Paul says, so we, though many, are one body in Christ and individually members one of another. In other words, Paul is saying here that the hand is not the ear, and the ear is not the foot, and the foot is not the esophagus, and that the church is like our body. We all have separate parts. We all have separate functions, and we do our own thing, but we all do it together, and we work together. Each part of the body, each part of the church has a special function, and without that part, then the whole body is incomplete. And so Paul says, we, meaning followers of Jesus, are many parts of the body of Christ. Do you realize here this morning, if you are a follower of Jesus, you are part of the body of Christ. And as part of this body of Christ, we are also part of the broader family. And guess what? We're all different. And that's not a problem, because that's by design. So I want you to understand this morning this about unity. I want you to understand what unity is. Unity is not the same as uniformity. And I want to say that again because that's very important for us here this morning. Unity is not the same as uniformity, because we can see that Paul says we are all different. He doesn't say we all look the same, talk the same, act the same, like everything exactly the same, and that's why we're one body. He says, no, we are all different, but we are one. But guess what? That differences, those differences, all that helps us and gives us strength. Because in our differences, it helps us to reach many different people. because my background, my experiences in life, my personality, my interest help me to reach people that you might not be able to reach. But your personality, your interest, your experiences in life help you to reach people that I might not be able to reach. And in the church, it is so easy for us to become divided because we tend to make much of those differences. We don't view them in the same way that Paul does. Sometimes we even let our sinful self and our pride take control, and we think, well, I'm better than everyone else, maybe because I have more money, or maybe because I'm more educated, or maybe because I've been a Christian far longer than that person. That person's just a babe in Christ, and we become divided because we make a big deal out of these differences. Or maybe it's not even within an individual church, but this can happen even against churches who are supposed to be working together for the kingdom of God, that we can begin to become disunified even with our fellow churches, and we make a big thing about the differences that exist between us, and a spirit of competition begins to rise. Maybe you've been guilty of this. I know I have in the past. When you're talking about our church to someone, you're like, well, we're not like that mega church over there. We're not like that small country church over there. We're not like that church down the road that has all that loud music. That's not us. We're not like that seeker-sensitive church over there. And we began to create this unity because we're saying we're not like them. We're better than them because we do it this way. But who cares what we're not like? Who cares who we are? That's what's most important. Who are we? Who has God made us to be? And we should just be who God has made us to be and sharing the love of God with everyone around us. Because praise God, we are not like every other church that is out there. And we shouldn't strive to be like every other church, but we should be exactly who we are, and we should take pride in who God has made us and who God wants us to be. And maybe we have to take a step back and begin to search for that. Maybe we have to go back and to discover who God made us to be instead of trying to be like every other church. Maybe we need to ask God, why have you placed us here, God? Who have you placed us here to reach? What is it, God, that you want us to be doing? And what do you want us to do to show people the love that you have provided through your Son and the salvation that you have provided for the world through him that is available to all? And that's the purpose of our vision team, which we're going to begin meeting very soon, to seek God and what he tells us to be doing and who we should be reaching, so that we together as a church can come under the leadership of our Heavenly Father and join together with one voice and one mind. That no matter what part of the body we are, that we're not isolated, that we just don't do what we feel we need to do or what we think we need to do, but that we are all working together, that our Sunday school is working right beside our youth ministry, that our crisis ministry is working right beside our children's ministry, that our skating ministry is working right beside our women's ministry with the same purpose and with the same mission. And we do all of this because we realize we desperately need each other. That it's not about me. That it's not about people just like me. But it's about the kingdom of God. It's about the family of God. Because do you realize even this? That we here at Big Spring Baptist Church are part of a much bigger family. And this family consists of believers in Uganda. It consists of followers of Jesus in Nepal, followers of Jesus all across Europe and South Africa, and all across the world from every nation that God created. And yet they are men, and they are women, and they are children. Some are rich, most are poor. They speak many different languages. They come from every ethnic background possible. They look different. They talk different. They might worship God very differently than we do, but we are all part of the same family because we worship one name, and that is the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior and our Lord. We need each other. It's not just us. We need people from every walk of life, every skin color, every background, to be able to make disciples around the world. Because without each other, without us embracing our differences, then we will never fulfill our mission. And so we should pray for unity because we desperately need each other. Secondly, we should pray for unity so that the world will see God's love. Look again in verse 7. Therefore, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. You know, when we are unified as the family of God, the world around us sees the love of Jesus. And I just love the way that Paul puts it here in this verse. He tells us that we should accept each other just as Christ has accepted you. You know, the world, the word that is used there of accept is the idea of receiving someone into your arms and embracing them. It's the idea of walking hand in hand with a brother or a sister. And so when you accept someone just as Christ has accepted you, how did Christ accept us? While we were still sinners, Christ accepted us. Before we were perfect, and by the way, none of us are perfect even now, but before we were perfect, before we had everything together, before we had our lives cleaned up, He accepted us. And that's how we are to accept other followers of Jesus. You may be different. You might have had a different background. You might have a different color of skin. You might have a different social standing, but we still walk hand in hand, embracing one another. And when we do this, let me tell you, the world takes notice. Because let's just understand reality. The world we live in right now is full of strife and anger, and it is all about the differences that exist. You have people from this group fighting this group. You have all these people making much of the differences that exist in humankind, and we fight over those differences. But when we as a church are different from the rest of the world, when instead of lifting up our differences and fighting over our differences, when we make the decision to not let these differences divide the body, when you have all different kinds of people coming together side by side and worshiping their God, the world takes notice. When people who are completely different begin to accept each other and love each other, the world takes notice. And now, instead of a church just being known for what it is against, a church can be known for what it is for, and that is for experiencing the grace and the love of Jesus. And we see that when we accept one another as Jesus accepted us. Jesus could have not said it any more clearly than he does in John chapter 13, beginning in verse 34, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." Notice what Jesus says there. He doesn't say you will be known as my disciple because you go to church. He doesn't say you will be known as my disciple because of what you believe or the doctrines you hold to. He doesn't say that you will be known as my disciple because you talk about God a lot. No, he says you will be known as my disciple because of the love that you have for each other. Now that is powerful. Everyone will know that you are my disciple, Jesus says, if you love one another. See, that's the only way that the world will know that we follow Jesus. So that's why we pray for him. So that people will see the love that we have for each other, and that they will know that it comes from God because it is not seen anywhere else in this world, and that we can set aside our differences, we can set aside our own opinions, we can set aside our own preferences, and we can love each other. And they will also then learn that they can have and know that same love is available to them through faith in Jesus Christ. So we pray for unity because we desperately need each other. We pray for unity so that the world will see God's love. And thirdly, we pray for unity because it is a core value of our church. Acts chapter 2, verse 42 says, "And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship and to the breaking of bread and prayers." Notice what the early church was doing, praying. I wonder why I'm starting this year with a series called Pray. because we find that it was the foundation of the early church. And we see that throughout the book of Acts. We see the early church always coming together, often if not every day, and praying together. It was the heartbeat and the attitude of the first century church, and it is what made it thrive. Because just think about it. What did the early church have? They didn't have any buildings. Didn't have television ministry. Didn't have any fundraisers, any special campaigns. They just had each other. What did they have against them? Massive persecution. People weren't just tweeting bad things about the pastor or the church there. No, we can see that the people were taking the lives in droves of those who believed in Jesus and thought that and believed that he was risen from the dead. Yet it was this little band of non-educated, first-century, passionate Jews, Jesus followers, who spread the gospel all over the world. And it's amazing how Luke describes this early church. In Acts 4:32, it says, "Now the full number of those who believed were of one heart and soul." Catch that? They were one heart and one soul. "And no one said that any of the things that belonged to him was his own, but they had everything in common." Isn't that amazing? It says the early church was one heart and one soul. And this unity was evidenced by the fact that they didn't see any of their possessions as being their own, but that they took what they had that was extra and they sold it and they gave it to the church and they said, "I want you to disperse this to those who are in need." And so as the church saw that there was a need, they would take that and give to those in need. And verse 34 shows us the result of this. It says that there was not a needy person among them. "For as many were owners of lands or houses, sold them and brought the proceeds of what was owned." So do you see the power of that kind of unity? Every need was met by God through the family of God, who did not see themselves as individuals. Instead, they saw themselves as a family, as a part of the body that needs each other. And they want to demonstrate the love of God. Just think what would happen today if the American church began to show this type of unity. People might say, "I don't know about the whole Jesus thing. I don't know about that whole rise from the dead thing. But one thing I do know is, do you realize how those Christians treat people? How loving they are? Do you see how they forgive one another? Do you see how they take care of their own and how generous they are with us?" And they will begin to take notice. And as they take notice, they can hear the gospel and learn who Jesus is and what he has done. And so we pray for unity. This isn't a me prayer. No, this is a prayer for the body, for the church. And when we pray for unity, and when we stand together with one mind and one voice, God is glorified, and people will know that God sent Jesus. And listen to me. Dream with me for just a moment. When we are united together, when we here at Big Spring Baptist Church are of one mind and one voice, we will see this community transformed. We will see drug dealers come to Christ. We will see those who are addicted to all kinds of different things find their fulfillment in God and in God alone. We will see families restored. We will see marriages restored. But it won't stop there, because our reach won't just be out into this community, but it will go beyond this community. It will reach out into the city of Cleveland, and the city of Cleveland will be transformed, but it won't stop there. It will continue to grow from Cleveland, and it will go across this state. And because of our unity, the state of Tennessee will be transformed, but it won't stop there. It will continue to spread to our country. It will continue to spread to the ends of the earth. And we will see people in the remotest villages in Africa, to the largest cities in Europe and Asia, come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, because the people of Big Spring Baptist Church are united together and have one mind and one voice. And I believe that this is all possible because it is the will of God that we will be united. I believe that it will happen.
we, his church, begins to pray. To pray for unity. To pray that we will have one voice, one mind, that we will stand together instead of taking shots at each other, and we recognize and believe that God has called us to be part of his family, and that we have a higher calling with a higher purpose to serve our God. And so today, let us be united. Let us have one voice, and together this morning, let us lift up that voice and pray to our Father. May we be united so that you, Father, are glorified. May we be united, Father, so that they will know that you have sent your Son and the salvation that is available through him. And in just a moment, we're going to sing a chorus. Let this chorus be our prayer here this morning. Let us be one. Make us one, Father, for your glory. Make us one, Father, so that we can fulfill the mission you have placed us here for. Maybe you're here this morning, and maybe God has begun to speak to you. Maybe there's an individual here that you have begun to fight with. Maybe you go up to that person, you pray with them. Maybe it's been in the past, but that these issues in the past are continuing to eat away at us and to keep us from becoming that one body. And maybe it's coming today and saying, God, I've held on to this for far too long. But Father, I turn it over to you so that I can get rid of these anger issues that are still in my heart. That I can get rid of all these things, whether that person is here or not. But say, Father, I want to be one. I want to be unified together here this morning with my brothers and sisters in Christ so that you will be glorified in through my life and through the life of this church, and so that our ministry will be able to go forth sharing the good news with all those in our community, with all those in our city, with our neighbors, with our co-workers, all around the world, so that people will know that you sent Jesus. Let us pray. Father, this morning, I pray that we would be a church who prays. That God, we would never have an experience where we wake up one morning and we say, what do I pray about today? That we would pray for power. Because, Father, we realize here this morning we need your spiritual power. We need the power of God. We need your power so that Christ can dwell within us. We need your power so that we can know how much you love us. We need your power so that we can do all that you have called us to do. God, I pray that we would be active in sharing our faith so that those around us could come to the knowledge of who you are and what you have done for them, but not only for them, but Father, also so that we could have a better understanding of all the good things that we have in you. I pray that we'd be active in sharing our faith so that we could grow closer to you, that our knowledge of who you are would grow as we're reminded every single time we share of the grace that we have experienced. And Father, I pray for unity. I pray that we as a church, we as a body, would be unified together. That if there is any strife or anger that exists within our body, Father, today that we would strike it down. Father, that we would come together as one for your mission, for your work. Father, whether it is among individuals here or whether it is of those who might have come before and left, but Father, that we are still holding on to. So, Father, that we could let those things go and live together as one here this morning, so that you would be glorified, so that you would be made much of, and that the world around us would know that you sent your Son, so that we all could experience salvation. Because, Father, we realize that it is not about us, but it is all about you. Help us to look beyond any differences that might exist. And help us to see that we have the greatest thing in common, that we have experienced your grace, that we serve the same God, and we have the same mission. And we pray for all of this in the name of Jesus.